Good morning. I am Bob Brown. The word is near you, said the Apostle Paul. It is in your mouth and in your heart. From Romans 10:8. Let us proclaim and sing God's word, that we may carry it always in our hearts. Welcome. We extend a special welcome to those who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHEC Radio, and to all who join us through our website, ZionReleaseOr.com. I also want to extend a special welcome to our Fusion kids. We look forward to hearing and seeing your nuclear energy. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast and the bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give us this ministry. The message today is Satan's Temptations by Pastor Gene Bringold Prohl. Volunteers are needed to provide a meal or snack for Fusion. There's a sign-up sheet on the table by the entry. If you cannot serve the meal, let us know and we will take care of that part. Snacks can be dropped off at the church office. Easter flower order forms are on the table in the narthex. You can honor or remember the loved ones and decorate the sanctuary for Easter at the same time. The deadline to order is March 18th. The Zion Fellowship will meet on Sunday, March 8th, following the morning worship service. All members of Zion are considered members of the Zion Fellowship. The Methodist Church is looking for help serving the Lenten meal at First Lutheran Church on March 4th. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the entryway if you are interested in helping out. First Lutheran Church will be hosting Lenten services on Wednesday, starting February 25th through March 18th. A meal will be served prior to the service. Fellowship committees will be providing the meal on Wednesday. Our fellowship committee will be providing the meal on Wednesday, March 11th, and they are planning to provide a sandwich and salad meal. Salads, desserts, and workers are needed. Sign-up sheets on how you can help with this meal are on the table by the church entry. Desserts are needed for the ecumenical meal on March 4th. There is a sign-up sheet on the table. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now, let us join in worship.
Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let us follow him. Giving up what we want to focus on what we need. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Surrendering our self-sufficiency, our opinions, our pride to God's truth. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Yielding our rights, our preferences, our desires to God's will. Yielding our fear, our pain to his plan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to live a life of giving up, to receive. Prepare our hearts to honor your death and celebrate your resurrection.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Jean, and I have been with you now for the past 3 weeks, and I will not be here next week. Pastor Bob will be preaching, but I think I will be back the next week. This is kind of a week-to-week thing that I've got going here, so I probably will be back in 2 weeks, but Pastor Bob will be here next week. My husband and I are taking a little bit of a vacation that was pre-planned. So anyway, and I want to just thank everybody for the special music today. Thank you, young people. We really appreciate it. And boy, the piano organ duet is that gorgeous, huh? Boy, thank you for that. That is really beautiful. I just love the pipe organ in this church. Just gorgeous. All right, so let us start with our call to worship, which is from Psalm 32. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. So all your loyal people should pray to you in times of need. You that are righteous, be glad and rejoice because of what the Lord has done. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, lift us from our everyday lives to this time of worship. Loosen our tongues so that we may sing your praises. Let our time together unite our spirits. Teach us to follow where Christ leads us. Amen. And please rise in body or in spirit as we sing our opening hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. Be seated. Let us confess our sins before God. Ever-present God, we confess to you our unkind thoughts and deeds. We live on the edge and often break the standards that you set for us. We find it hard to love everyone, for so many have unloving ways. We treat people as things to use. We do not offer ourselves to help others instead of acting with Christian love. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to follow your will. Amen. I declare the complete forgiveness of your sins. God gives us victory over our sins and limitations. We can trust God's love and emerge from our self-centeredness. We can dare to show love to our neighbors. Go forth in peace. Amen. Now let us share the peace of the Lord one with another.
Today I'm reading Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." Now I'm reading Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned. For sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam, who is a pattern of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Today's gospel reading is from the fourth chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 11. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they shall bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. You know, I have a terrible time resisting temptation. A friend of mine once recommended that I read the book The Addictive Personality by Craig Nochen. It was a very interesting read. Suffice it to say that I'm a very addictive personality, and I battle compulsory behavior quite regularly. My most obvious addiction, of course, is food. I've battled my weight all of my adult life. Don't put chocolate in front of me. It's not a pretty picture. A close second is my book issue. I talked to my sister the other day and I explained what the sermon was about this week. And she said, well, remember, Jean, your first addiction was books. Now, when I was in high school, I love to read, and I still love to read, and I read all the time. And I belonged in high school to 3 book clubs. That's where all my babysitting money went. I was in the romantic suspense book club. I was in the mystery book club, and I belonged to the book of the month club, believe it or not, when I was in high school. So, and I still have, I've got a room full of books at home. If I read a book every 3 days, I would never get through them in the rest of my life. Okay, probably my biggest addiction, and here, you know, confession is good for the soul. I am a compulsive knitter. I knit all the time, okay? And I have 2 closets jam-packed with yarn. In fact, I just bought some yarn a couple of months ago. I will never get around to using it all. All I can do is laugh about it and do my level best to resist. Our 3 lessons all talk about sin and temptation and how we are to respond. Let's examine this item in more detail. Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us the story of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We are told that he was placed in the garden to work it and care for it. God gave him the freedom to eat from any tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He was warned that if he ate from it, the consequence would be death. In Genesis 3, verses 3 through 7, we are told about the crafty serpent who tempted Eve by questioning God's command. The serpent deceives Eve, telling her that eating the fruit will make her like God, knowing good and evil. Eve eats the fruit and gives some to Adam, who also eats it. Their eyes are opened and they realize that they were naked. They fashion claws out of fig leaves to cover themselves. The story of the Garden of Eden is a tale of stewardship. Adam was placed there to tend it as a partner, not merely as a personal means of gain. God placed a moral boundary to test Adam and Eve's ability to be obedient and to respect divine guidance. The serpent represented cunning and temptation. It introduced doubt. It made Eve question the divine command and exploited her human curiosity. Now, curiosity is a good thing. It's something that God gave us. But it must be used carefully. This was the first act of disobedience, and it's often called the fall. After they eat the fruit, they become aware of their nakedness, which symbolizes shame and loss of innocence. They feel guilt and are separated from God. This has grave consequences. Further on in Genesis, it tells us that they are ejected from Eden and are doomed to have difficult lives afterwards. This shows that sin has consequences. Humans are naturally driven toward knowledge and autonomy. But the desire to gain wisdom beyond God's commands reflects the spiritual lessons of the fall. We must be obedient to God. We must take responsibility for our own actions, and boundaries are meant to be respected. We must be on guard against temptation and understand that actions have consequences. Our Psalm 22 reading, which was our call to worship, also tells us a lot about sin. We are to rejoice when our sins are forgiven. We are to be free of deceit. It is such a human tendency to lie to ourselves. I know I lie to myself. We're told to pray to God in times of trouble. Then a sea of difficulties will not reach us. We are to live lives of gratitude and righteousness. We are called to be loyal and to obey God. Now, the Psalms are the songbook of the Bible. The Old Testament Israelites used the Psalms for singing and during worship. We are called to sing praises to God and to obey Him. I highly recommend a spiritual discipline of reading the Psalms. If you do a daily reading of the Psalms, you will learn that every single human emotion can be found in those words. Fear, anger, anguish, joy, questioning. Every human emotion is in the Psalms. You will find great comfort if you pick up the Bible and read the Psalms when you are in times of trouble. You will immediately feel better. So try it. Our reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans continues our theme of temptation and sin. Paul describes the entrance of sin into the world through Adam's trespassing in the garden. Humanity is condemned to death through the fall. But through Christ, we are justified and given eternal life. If we receive it, sin no longer has its deadly power over us. Paul uses the word "much more" twice, which shows us that God's grace through Jesus far exceeds Adam's sin. Many are made righteous through this act of grace. Christ's act of righteousness provides the free gift of justification. It is important that we realize that this is through God's initiative, not our own human effort. We can't earn our salvation. We can't work our way into heaven. We are gifted with the gift of grace. We are either like Adam and under condemnation, or we are in Christ in righteousness and life. It is helpful for us to realize that sin is more than just a moral failure. It's actually a force. It is something that compels us to disobedience. But Christ's obedience to God, even unto death on the cross, overcomes this force. We have victory over sin and death. Through faith, we obtain the transformative power of grace. Now, our gospel today tells us about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. This takes place immediately after his baptism by John in the River Jordan. We're told that he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Well, I don't know about you, but I hate to skip lunch. Of course he was hungry. So Satan decided to exploit his hunger, and he tempted him for the first time. He told him to turn the stones into bread so that he could eat. As he did with all three temptations, Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy. He said, "Man does not eat by bread alone, but by every word of God." So Satan tried again. He tempted him by saying that he should jump off the temple roof. The angels would catch him and save him, said Satan. Well, again, Jesus quotes Scripture saying that we should not put the Lord to the test. Then Satan took him to a high mountain so that he could see a vast area of land. Satan said all of that land could be his dominion if only Jesus would worship him, Satan. Again, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy saying, "Away from me, Satan. I will worship the Lord God and serve him only." Totally frustrated, Satan left and the angels tended to Jesus. After this episode, Jesus then began his public ministry after these temptations. So why was Jesus tempted? He was tempted in order to show his holiness. He needed to show that his allegiance to God would not waver. The word devil is derived from words meaning adversary or accuser. The devil is opposed to us, an enemy of mankind. The devil is the leader of evil angels. Other words for the devil are Satan, Beelzebub, the old serpent, and prince of the power of the air. When Jesus quotes the Old Testament those three times, he is affirming that God will support life with things other than bread. We are to live by every other thing that proceeds from God's mouth. Our lives depend on the word and the will of God. When he was tempted to throw himself off the roof, he refused God's special protection and care. He instead told us not to be tempted or to provoke God. Once again, the devil was repelled by rightly applied scripture. When Jesus was tempted again to gain power on top of the mountain, if only he would worship the devil, he again quotes scripture. We do not know which mountain this was, but it was probably near Jerusalem. Satan proposed to put Jesus in possession of that land right away if Jesus would only worship him. But Jesus told him to get away and he would worship only God. Jesus had passed the test. The angels came and took care of him. Satan had lost. There are numerous lessons that we could take from these scriptures. I think the first lesson is that Satan takes advantage of our circumstances. This is the art of temptation. He knows just when to strike. He can use misapplied scripture to confuse us. The Bible can be manipulated. The tempter can appear to be very pious and religious. He tempts artfully and plausibly. Another lesson is that temptations are often strongest after something good has happened to us. In our gospel, Jesus had just been called the Son of God. Satan used this opportunity to test him. Tempters will often try to fill us with pride and vain self-conceit. We're tempted to go low and to be led into sin. Another lesson is that temptations are often seen to encourage us to do things that are good and proper. What's so bad about turning stones into bread if you're hungry, right? This is perfectly reasonable. The temptations may be even to promote the glory of God and to honor him. Some of these could be the most powerful temptations. But we need to remember that no one is too holy to be tempted. So how are we to deal with temptations when it rears its ugly head? Is there nothing we can do when we are encouraged to sin? When I see a new knitting pattern and I want to buy yarn, is there nothing I can do? The good news is that we're not left defenseless. We should do what Jesus did. He recited scripture. Okay? We should seriously discern if this temptation is the right thing to do. As hard as it is, we should not try to trust our feelings or wishes. We should be level-headed and perhaps talk with others to get their counsel. Then we should go to God, whose advice will never fail us. Maybe we can even say some scripture. How about saying, "Away from me, Satan," when we're confronted with a questionable choice? The fact is, the temptations will always be around us. As humans, we will always be vulnerable. But we can rest assured that we are not helpless. We can have victory over temptations. Let's all give it our best shot. Away from me, Satan! Amen. And now we will sing our next hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Let us pray. Everlasting God, this world is impossible and often unthinkable. We are brought to our knees with grief. It seems as though there is no true north. We look at the sun and are amazed that it rose. The innocent still suffer, and families still grieve. This world filled with tragedy robs us when we sleep. Help us to know what to feel and what to do. Help us to see clearly and to discern the truth of it all. We will ask and wait and ask again for answers that are slow coming. Show us how to live in a world where hope is hard to find. Remind us that you are God and you remain our home and our refuge. When life becomes too difficult to hold, take our hands. And now this morning we express a sincere prayer of gratitude for our special music this morning, for the few Zion kids, and for our beautiful piano organ duets. They are truly gifts from God. Now let us pray together the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we will receive our morning offering. Thank you. And now let us join in our recessional hymn, called as Partners in Christ's Service. Benediction. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever, grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift up your eyes and see his face and his grace forever. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Amen.